If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
Listener advisory. Before we begin, please note that this episode discusses the disappearance of a real person. While we do not include graphic details, topics such as violence, abuse, mental health, or other sensitive issues may be mentioned as part of telling their story. Please take care while listening, and if you need to, feel free to pause or come back whenever you're ready. If you have any information about any missing person, no matter how small or insignificant it may seem, please contact your local law enforcement agency or your local Crime Stoppers organization. Even the smallest detail could help bring answers to a family that has been searching for a loved one. Thank you for listening and for helping us keep their stories alive. In 1995, Lenoria Jones was just developing her personality. She had just started to learn about the world around her, and at age three, it seemed hopeful to everyone else that Lenoria would finally have a stable home. Her first 3 years were spent bouncing around in foster care, so when her great aunt stepped up to start adoption proceedings, everyone was thrilled, including Lenoria's own biological mother. But in the summer of 1995, something happened that shocked and horrified Lenoria's entire family. She vanished. Now, she didn't just vanish. Her story does not stop there. For years, we would hear several different versions of what might have happened on the day Lenoria allegedly disappeared. None of those versions were good, and none brought much hope to either Lenoria's family or to investigators, all of whom were now putting all they had into finding out what happened to this sweet little girl. Each passing year brought new stories, new searches, new leads, new tips, and new fears, as it seemed something bad likely happened to Lenoria. Lenoria had a rough start in life. It doesn't seem she was ever given a chance to grow up, to enjoy a childhood. We will likely never know what Lenoria was destined to do in life. This is the tragic story of a toddler who vanished at the young age of three. This is the story of Lenoria Jones. The first 3 years of Lenoria Jones's life were troubled ones, to say the least. She was born in 1992 to a drug-addicted mother, thus herself being addicted to drugs when she was born, to cocaine, to be exact. After detoxing and receiving treatment in the hospital, Lenoria entered the foster care system in the state of Washington. We all know the perils of the foster care system, and Lenoria would be moved around quite a bit. In fact, six different foster homes by the time she was 2 years old. By the time she turned three, however, her great aunt Berline stepped up to care for Lenoria. She took in the child, and she eventually started adoption proceedings. All of this was with the blessing of Lenoria's biological mother. Her mom continued to have struggles of her own with drugs and some criminal activity, but she often called to check in on Lenoria, whom she lovingly called Nori. She thought her own aunt would be a great fit as a guardian and a parent for Lenoria. This was an aunt that she had grown up with herself, was always known to be a trusted and loving member of the family. Now, Berline had children of her own. She had three older daughters between the ages of 16 and 20, as well as a 9-year-old son at the time she had taken in Lenoria. Berline also ran a home daycare, which was registered with the state of Washington under the name God's Wonderful World of Colors. Lenoria was diagnosed with ADHD, something doctors felt was a result of her being born addicted to drugs, and she might likely have developed some other troubles as she grew older as well, but at just age 3, it wasn't clear yet what those might be, if anything at all. She was being treated with medication for ADHD. Now, by 1995, everyone was hopeful that Lenoria had finally found stability. There would be family around to help Berline, and Lenoria could grow up surrounded with other children and hopefully many playmates. Lenoria had finally found a home. The disappearance. By July of 1995, the adoption for Lenoria was in progress. It wasn't final yet, however, and Lenoria did technically remain a ward of the state. Lenoria was living with Berline and her family in a residential neighborhood in northwest Tacoma, an area known as Hilltop. Berline, at the time, was still living with her own 4 children. That included her 3 daughters, aged 16, 18, and 20. And in addition to them, she also had a 9-year-old son. On the morning of Thursday, July 20th, 1995, Berline left home to go run some errands. She went to a car wash, a convenience store, then to a grocery store, before heading over to a Target. It was here that it seemed something went very wrong. While inside Target and shopping, Berline said that she looked over and noticed that Lenoria was missing. She had been browsing around in the toy department and just seemingly vanished. Now, Berline went off looking everywhere for her on her own, thinking that this little toddler had just become distracted by something else and had walked off to check something out. Something very typical for any 3-year-old, let alone a 3-year-old with severe ADHD. But after searching through all the aisles, she couldn't find Lenoria anywhere. Now, Berline's exact movements from here are a little unclear, but we do know that at exactly 9:42 a.m., she made her way outside to call 911 and report Lenoria as missing. It does not seem she informed anyone in the store or the store personnel, but rather she went outside at this time to use a payphone. Now, authorities quickly showed up on a call for a missing toddler. They came up to help search. They searched inside the Target store. They searched outside the store. And of course, the hope was that maybe Lenoria had found a hiding spot. Maybe she was playing a game, or maybe she had even wandered off to a part of the store where she shouldn't have been, and maybe she became lost. She was tiny. She's only 3 years old. Certainly many places in a Target store where a little 3-year-old could hide. But those searches in and around the store were not turning up any signs of Lenoria. And no one inside the store had reported seeing her either. 3-year-old Lenoria Jones had disappeared. The search and investigation. Now it was all hands on deck for this missing toddler at this Target store in Tacoma, and authorities knew they had to review the surveillance footage inside the store. This might give them all the answers. If they could just see Lenoria on this recording and maybe see where she had wandered off to, or what everyone was becoming scared of at this point, if she had been taken by somebody. But the video footage that was reviewed by investigators only left them with more questions, a lot more questions. They never found any sign of Lenoria in the Target store at all. In fact, when they did locate Berline on video walking into the store, she was alone. Lenoria was not with her. Now, when confronted with this information, Berline said that she must have just been distracted and thought Lenoria had been walking behind her, following her inside the store, when she actually didn't. This must mean that Lenoria had actually disappeared somewhere in between the vehicle and the entrance doors to Target. So foot searches began all around the Target store. And not only did they not find Lenoria or any sign of her or any item of hers, they didn't even find anyone who had seen a toddler wandering around a busy parking lot. Something was not adding up, and investigators were becoming very suspicious. So authorities took it a step further and tried to find exterior video. Video of maybe Berline arriving at the store in her vehicle, a van, and they did locate this, but it wasn't exactly clear enough to be certain of what they were seeing. But to them, however, it looked as if no one other than Berline exited that van and walked inside the store. Now, that first day that Lenoria was reported as missing on July 20th, Berline was subjected to hours and hours of questioning. All the while, searchers were out there looking for Lenoria. Now, Berline had told two different stories already to investigators. First, that Lenoria had become lost in the toy section of the store and then changed it up a little bit later and said, well, Lenoria must have been lost or abducted in the Target parking lot before ever making it inside the store. But now she was about to give detectives a third story. She said that she actually did know where Lenoria was, but she was not going to say. She was not going to tell them. She couldn't. And when pressed for more answers regarding this, Berline wouldn't talk. So that was very confusing to investigators. Why would Berline keep this a secret? And if she did know where Lenoria was and wasn't going to tell anybody, why did she make that 911 call to report Lenoria missing? Nothing was adding up. Detectives, becoming more and more suspicious with every story and with every passing hour, they also decided they needed to search Berline's home for any clues, and they did. But they didn't turn up any sign of Lenoria. And even though Berline's story had changed multiple times by now, within the first several hours of Lenoria being reported as missing, there was not enough evidence to officially arrest or even detain Berline at this point. The next day, Friday, July 21st, state authorities showed up at Berline's house. She was a licensed daycare operator, but now with a missing child, they immediately suspended Berline's operator's license. On Sunday, July 23rd, a press conference was held outside of Berline's home in the Hilltop neighborhood of Tacoma. Berline didn't speak at this press conference, but family members did. It was their belief that Lenoria was abducted in the Target parking lot. That was why no one had seen her, and that it was the stress and anxiety that Berline was under from this event that was causing her to change her stories. They said that Berline was so distraught over Lenoria going missing that she often wasn't making any sense. They stuck by her and they defended her ever-changing narratives. The next day, Monday, July 24th, Berline was taken into the police department for more questioning, and this session would last 10 hours. And after this, we would have a fourth story. Berline said that she had been afraid to say so earlier, but Lenoria had actually been abducted by two men in an alleyway. Now, again, when pressed for more information regarding this alleged kidnapping, Berline wouldn't say much. She just said they were two black men in the alleyway behind her home. Now, again, this still didn't make any sense. Why did Berline go to Target to report Lenoria missing and stage that whole setup instead of just calling 911 from home when the abduction actually happened? So to say authorities were frustrated would be an understatement. They knew without getting any clear answers from Berline, without having any video footage, having no clear direction to go to look for Lenoria, they were going to have to expand their reach for clues and their reach for doing physical searches. They knew they were not going to get straight answers from Berlin at this point, and they were determined to find this little girl. Detectives spoke to Berlin's daughters, who were said to not exactly be very forthcoming, and all three girls refused to take a polygraph. Berlin was also refusing a polygraph. So detectives moved on to questioning Berlin's neighbors just to get kind of a feel of what was happening at the house, if there had been any strange activity or any strange people. And they would learn something very, very troubling from one of the neighbors. 4 days before Lenoria allegedly vanished, this would be on July 16th, one of the neighbors reported hearing one of the daughters, or who they believed to be one of the daughters, saying, "I killed her," over and over. They said, well, they were taken aback by hearing this, enough so that it made an impact on them and they remembered it. They also figured that for some reason, they must be talking about a pet. So when questioned about this detail, Berlin and her daughters all denied saying this or hearing anyone else say it for that matter. Was the neighbor mistaken? We don't know. Authorities also called Lenoria's biological mother, who was now residing in Arkansas. Now, one of the possibilities they had been tossing around in their mind is that maybe Lenoria's biological mom came back to town and took Lenoria. Maybe everyone was even covering for her. Maybe that's why the stories kept changing, because they didn't want her to get into trouble, knowing that she wasn't supposed to have custody of Lenoria. But when checking in with Lenoria's mother, Deidre, they learned that she had never left Arkansas and she was extremely distraught over her daughter's disappearance. In fact, she had even more to tell detectives at that point. She said that she had called Berlin 2 days before Lenoria vanished, so this would be on July 18th. She said that no one in the home would allow her to speak to Lenoria, which she found very odd, and there was something about that call that had really left her unsettled. She said the entire conversation was troubling to her. She couldn't exactly put her finger on it, and she wasn't sure what to make of it. Now, I know there's a lot of dates and quite a timeline emerging here, so I'm going to recap date by date to help paint a picture in a minute if it is becoming a little bit confusing or overwhelming. But moving on, on July 26th, now 6 days after Lenoria was reported missing, the state called Berlin down to the courthouse again. This time, they wanted her to testify under oath. The state was able to do this on their own because Lenoria was a ward of the state. Berlin was her registered caregiver. They were hoping that this would maybe force some truth out of Berlin. Maybe they could get some more definitive answers from her and clear up some of these previously changing stories, but they were unsuccessful. 2 months later, on September 15th now, an order was issued to Berlin, giving her 7 days to produce Lenoria. 7 days later, when Berlin did not produce Lenoria, she was held in contempt of court and put on house arrest. However, that house arrest was temporary. 4 months later, on January 19th, Berlin would be officially released from house arrest by a judge, citing lack of evidence. The search and investigation kind of stalled after that point, although authorities have said it has always been an active case to them, and they will continue to work it, and they will continue searching for Lenoria. The timeline. Because there are so many dates in this story, I just want to briefly recap Lenoria's timeline, starting from the very beginning. In 1992, Lenoria is born and put into foster care in the state of Washington. In 1994, she goes into the care of Berlin Williams. This would be Lenoria's great aunt. On July 16th, 1995, a neighbor states they heard one of Berlin's daughters say, "I killed her," but they thought that she was referring to a pet. On July 18th, 1995, Lenoria's biological mother calls Berline's house to check in on her daughter and hopefully speak to her. However, Berline refused to put Lenoria on the phone and started acting oddly. July 20th, 1995, at 9:42 a.m., Berline calls 911 from a payphone at a local Target store to report Lenoria as missing. Berline would go on to change her story at least four times. On July 21st, 1995, a day after Lenoria is reported as missing, the state authorities shut down Berline's home daycare. Berline goes to police headquarters and is questioned for 10 hours before being released. July 23, 1995, a press conference is held outside of Berline's home with a public plea for help in finding Lenoria. The family stands by Berline. July 26, 1995, Berline is subpoenaed to court to testify under oath about Lenoria's whereabouts. This does not produce any additional information. On September 15, 1995, a court order is issued giving Berline 7 days to produce Lenoria. 7 days later, Berline is held in contempt of court and put on house arrest. January 19, 1996, Berline is released from house arrest due to lack of evidence. Tacoma, Washington. Now, the setting of this story and where Lenoria's home was is the city of Tacoma, Washington. Tacoma is a port city on the Puget Sound, roughly about 30 miles south of Seattle. Historically, this was a large working and middle-class population city. Now, by the 1980s and early 1990s, Tacoma was struggling with the same problem that was affecting a lot of American cities, the crack cocaine epidemic. Gangs, violent crime, deteriorating housing, and economic hardships. In 1995, Lenoria was living with Berline and her family in Tacoma's Hilltop neighborhood. This is a neighborhood just west of downtown. At the time, Hilltop was one of Tacoma's most well-known neighborhoods and often had a negative connotation attached to it. That was because the 80s and early 90s, the area had really struggled hard with gangs, drugs, shootings, and a lot of abandoned and deteriorating properties. But by the summer of 1995, Hilltop neighborhood was known to be making a huge comeback. Media was taking notice of this. Community groups were coming in and buying and renovating abandoned homes. Residents had worked together to organize neighborhood crime watches. The area was actually slowly beginning to emerge from those difficult years and into a nice family residential area. Now, this location is particularly interesting in the case of a child's disappearance. This is not an isolated or rural area. It's a very densely populated part of town. Houses, churches, schools, playgrounds, and lots of commercial buildings and businesses nearby. Berline was also reportedly operating a daycare from her home, meaning children and other families were continually coming and going from the property. But where did Lenoria go missing from exactly? The Target where she was reported as disappearing from is less than 2 miles from the home Berline was living at with Lenoria. So searches had always focused around that neighborhood. But there's never been any evidence either that Lenoria was at that Target. Now, of course, in missing person cases, especially cases that have gone on for years and years, I always want to take a look at any water sources in the area. And there's a few to mention here. First, Tacoma as a whole sits on the Puget Sound. Just east of the Hilltop neighborhood is an industrial waterfront area. This is a substantial bay known as Commencement Bay. There's also Snake Lake. West of Hilltop is what we now call the Tacoma Nature Center. This is a lake surrounded by wetlands and wooded natural areas. The area covers about 54 acres. Another lake farther west is China Lake. Parks Tacoma describes this area as a substantial wetland system that has remained undeveloped despite all the urbanization surrounding it. Now, just a few miles away is Berline's house, which was also searched. It was never publicly announced that anything was found at the home, and it was never released publicly if any searches of the yard were ever conducted. It is worth noting now that Berline's family no longer lives there and, in fact, no longer lives in Tacoma, Washington. Theories and possibilities. Now, by now, Tacoma detectives believe that Lenoria was likely already deceased by the time Berline reported her missing from that Target on July 20th. They do not believe Lenoria is still alive, although they don't know whether her death was accidental or intentional. So, theory number one, Lenoria died accidentally at the Williams home. This is one of the strongest possibilities that investigators themselves have discussed. They have specifically mentioned the possibility of an accidental death inside that home. They don't have any evidence to believe that somebody deliberately killed Lenoria. So it's possible that maybe there was a household accident, there was maybe an over-medication, or some type of accident happened inside the house. Now, if that is what happened, it seemed that those in the household panicked rather than reporting the death. Lenoria's body was moved or concealed, and the Target disappearance was staged afterwards. Now, several facts make an event before July 20th particularly important. The last confirmed sighting of Lenoria by someone outside the family was reportedly at church 4 days before she was reported missing. This would be the same day the neighbor believed they heard somebody say, "I killed her." And this would be 2 days before Lenoria's biological mother called to check in on her daughter and said that Berline was acting odd and would not put her daughter on the phone. This creates a window of about 4 days in which something could have happened. And sadly, Lenoria's body could have been taken somewhere during that time. Then, of course, theory number two, Lenoria's death was intentional and it was caused by somebody inside the home. Now, this could be Berline or one of her older daughters, as many people believe. Could Berline be covering up for something one of her children did? Going by what the neighbor believed they heard, it seems this could be a very likely possibility also. Now, there's an intriguing piece of court history that fits this possibility. When that judge held Berline in contempt of court back in September of 1995, the judge had wrote that she had, quote, tremendous ties to her family and tremendous motive to protect her family, end quote, citing that she had engaged in deceptive behavior regarding Lenoria's whereabouts, and it seemed that a lot of people believed she was protecting somebody. Now, that doesn't prove anything. And whether it was Berline or Berline's children that might have done something to Lenoria inside the home, there would be another interesting piece of information that would come up in the future. In 2024, a detective located Berline in Spokane, Washington, and attempted to have a discussion with her all these years later about Lenoria. And Berline told them that she had, quote, made good with God, end quote. The detective asked her if she had told her priest what had actually happened. Had she confessed? Had she told them something? And Berline nodded. Now, this is very intriguing, and investigators believe it tells them a lot, but it is not considered a confession. Now, theory number three, Lenoria wandered away. Lenoria was a busy, active toddler. Could she have wandered away from the home in Hilltop? It's very possible, and toddlers have been known to do this numerous times, even bringing out search and rescue teams to find them. But there are some problems with this theory when it comes to Lenoria. If that's true, if she simply just wandered away from the home, why fabricate the whole Target story? Why change your story multiple times, even claiming at one point to know that Lenoria was safe somewhere? Also, police searched Berline's residences and the businesses that she'd said she'd visited that day. They deployed police dogs, search and rescue dogs, never finding a trace of Lenoria. Also, no one ever reported seeing her just wandering around. So I guess it remains theoretically possible that a three-year-old wandered away and suffered an accident or maybe even was taken by somebody else. But with the other circumstances in this case, it does make this scenario a little harder to believe. Leading to theory number four, someone abducted Lenoria. Now, there could be a couple different versions of this. Version A, we'll call it, was Lenoria was abducted by strangers. And that was one of Berline's original stories, was that two men had abducted her in an alleyway. Now, for some reason, Berline has been less than forthcoming about a lot of these details, and you would think that somebody would be truthful and honest to help authorities find their little girl, to help find Lenoria. Part of this theory that someone might have abducted Lenoria, we'll go with version B, is that maybe another relative took her, and maybe Berline and her daughters were afraid of this other relative being in trouble. That's why they kind of changed their stories or made up different stories. Maybe they wanted the help to find Lenoria, but they didn't want to get a specific relative directly in trouble, including maybe Lenoria's biological mother. Lenoria's biological father has never been identified. Now, law enforcement says they ruled out Lenoria's bio mom, and they checked with other relatives in the area. So while, again, this theoretically remains a possibility, it's tough to find a lot of evidence pointing in that direction. I do want to mention a couple of other cases that come to mind when looking into Lenoria's story. First is the case of Tika Lewis. When researching Lenoria Jones's story directly, a lot of articles, a lot of sources will also mention Tika Lewis. And that is because Tika Lewis was around the same age. She was 2.5 years old when she disappeared from the New Frontier Lanes bowling alley in Tacoma, Washington, on January 23rd, 1999. This would be about 3.5 years after Lenoria disappeared. So yes, while some time went by between the two, there are a lot of similarities. Age-wise, they were both young toddlers. They were both Black females. They were both living and missing from the Tacoma, Washington area. However, the circumstances are very different. Tika was with nearly a dozen relatives, not to mention the dozens of other people within this bowling alley. She was playing near an arcade game only a few feet from both her family and her mother, as well as the exit door. Now, her mother looked away briefly, and when she turned around to check on Tika, Tika was gone. Police were notified immediately. Cars were searched at the bowling alley. People were questioned. The family was hysterical. And police ultimately came to believe that Tika was abducted by a stranger. There had also been some strange activity going on at that bowling alley, which led further speculation that Tika had been abducted. So, of course, we think of Tika right away because she was also in Tacoma and a toddler. But with such different circumstances, I really don't think the two cases are related. Now, another case that does not come up in the story of Lenoria Jones, but popped up immediately in my mind because I did cover her case a few years ago, and that is the strikingly similar case of Shanta Johnson from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Now, we're going to go clear across the country for this story. So proximity-wise, geographically speaking, they're about as far apart as you can get within the United States, but the circumstances are almost identical. Shanta was 3 years old, the exact same age as Lenoria. She was reported missing on July 19th, 1992. She was living with her foster parents, Susan and Willie Johnson, who were in the process of adopting Shanta along with her younger brother. Susan Johnson told police that she took Shanta to the Briarcliff Mall in Myrtle Beach, where Shanta supposedly disappeared near the toy department of a Kmart store. Investigators reviewed the store's surveillance footage, which showed that Susan entered the Kmart alone. Shanta was not with her, was never seen on any video footage from that Kmart. Now, Shanta went missing in 1992. It was a foster prospective adoptive caregiver that reported her missing from a retail store, from a toy department specifically, but surveillance indicates that the child wasn't actually there. Now, again, because of proximity, it doesn't seem there's anything to connect these two cases, aside from the fact that the circumstances are almost exactly the same. Final thoughts. Lenoria's case has touched many, many people over the years, and occasionally Tacoma police released new statements to the media and to the public in an effort to continue to keep Lenoria's story out there. They have not forgotten. They will not consider this a cold case. They will continue to work Lenoria's case. Detective Jay Buchanan is one of those law enforcement officers continuing to push for answers for Lenoria. And just a couple of years ago in 2024, spoke to Berlin once again. He was able to track her down and locate her living now in Spokane, Washington. Detective Buchanan wrote this update in a police report. Quote, "At one point, Berlin said that she had made it good with her Lord. I asked Berlin if she told her priest what had actually happened, and Berlin shook her head up and down. I implored Berlin to tell us the truth, but it had no effect on her. Berlin tried to treat herself as a victim, claiming how bad of a toll this investigation has had on her mental well-being over the last several years. Eventually, Berlin went back into her apartment and asked us to leave." End quote. So what do you think? It sounds almost like a confession, or at least as if she knows a lot more than she has ever said. What do you think happened to Lenoria Jones? Will we ever know? What can we do to even find these answers now, all these years later? Lenoria is described as a Black female, just 3 years old when she vanished. At the time of her disappearance, she had brown eyes and black hair that was being worn in braids. She was believed to have been wearing a Barney t-shirt and blue turquoise pants. Again, at the time, she was 3 feet tall and 40 pounds. Of course, now Lenoria would be in her 30s. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children has continued to do age progression photos for Lenoria over the years. I will be sharing some of them over on our socials, on our blog, and a quick search of Lenoria should pull up some of those photos for you also. Now, no one has been arrested or charged in Lenoria's disappearance as of now. There is a $1,000 reward through Crime Stoppers for any information that leads to someone being arrested and charged. Anyone with any information can always remain anonymous and call 253-591-5959. Thank you so much for listening to Lenoria's story today. Such a tragic, tragic story that tore a family apart, that tore a community apart. When a little girl goes missing, it affects so many people. And this is a little girl who will forever be 3 years old in the heart of her mother and those who have tirelessly searched for her. Please share Lenoria's story any way you can. You never know who might recognize a detail, remember something that they might have forgotten, or just help put this case in front of the right person. And Lenoria deserves to live on in our minds and in our hearts. As always, if I do have any case updates, I'll post that over on our socials first. Be sure to give us a follow. You can find the Where Are They podcast on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and of course, wherever you get your podcasts. I'll also post breaking news and any additional information in cases that can't always be included in these episodes. Now, I also want to hear your thoughts on any of the cases we cover, and specifically on Lenoria's. There will be a Q&A thread for this episode over on Facebook and Instagram. So if you do have any questions about her case, her story, if you have any observations, if you have any theories that you want to discuss, leave them over there. You can send me a message. You can post them publicly. There'll be several avenues for you to do that. And then next week, I'll work on discussing those questions and maybe some answers, as well as any additional thoughts and theories that you might have in our special Q&A episode, which will be exclusively over on Patreon and to our podcast subscribers. I do want to give a big shout out and a huge welcome to our newest Patreon members, Amy and Linda R. Thank you so much for supporting us and for helping us continue to do what we do. If you are interested, memberships on Patreon are just $3 a month. Your support helps us research these cases, create new episodes, and continue to keep these stories in the public eye, as well as help support the families of the missing. We are often able to do so financially, and we wouldn't be able to do that without your help. As a Patreon member, you'll also receive all of our episodes completely ad-free, 2 days early, and exclusive bonus content, which includes our weekly Q&A discussion. If you have a missing person case you'd like me to cover, you have feedback about the podcast, or simply just want to reach out, I'd love to hear from you. You can hit me up on the socials or email me anytime at canwefindthem@gmail.com. Thank you again so much for listening to Lenoria's story today and helping us raise awareness of yet another missing person. A missing child. Someone out there knows something. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing persons story. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.